ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11th चैप्टर 6th द यदु डायनेस्टी रिटायर्स टू प्रभास टेक्स्ट 14th
नस्योत गाव इव यस्य वशे भवन्ति ब्रह्मादयस्तनुभृतो मिथुराद्यमानः कालस्य ते प्रकृति पुरुषयो परस्य शम्नस्तनोतु चरणः पुरुषोत्तमस्य नस्योत गाव इव यस्य वशे भवन्ति ब्रह्मादयस्तनुभृतो मिथुरर्द्यमानः कालस्य ते प्रकृति पुरुषयो परस्य शम्नस्तनोतु चरणः पुरुषोत्तमस्य नस्योत गाव इव यस्य वशे भवन्ति ब्रह्मादयस्तनुभृतो मिथुराद्यमानः कालस्य ते प्रकृति पुरुषयो परस्य शम्नस्तनोतु चरणः पुरुषोत्तमस्य
माताजीज वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय द डिसाइपल्स ऑफ हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग नसी थ्रू द नोज ओता स्ट्रंग गावह ऑक्सन इव एज इफ यस्य of whose vashe under the control bhavanti they exist brahma adayah brahma and all others tanubhrutah the embodied living beings mituh among each other ardyamanah struggling kalasya of the force of time te of yourself prakruti purushayo both the material nature and the living entity parasya who is beyond them sham transcendental fortune naha for us tanotu may they spread charanaha the lotus feet purusha uttamasya of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation: you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the transcendental entity who is superior to both material nature and the enjoyer of nature. May your lotus feet bestow transcendental pleasure upon us. All of the great demigods, beginning with Brahma, are embodied living entities. Struggling painfully with one another under the strict control of your time factor, they are just like bulls dragged by ropes tied through their pierced noses. Purport: Srila Sridhar Swami states, Nanu yuddhe deva suradayah parasparam jayanti jivante chakim aham tareti tatreti atra ahuhu nasiti mithur mitho ardyamana yuddhadhibhi pidyamana brahmadayo api asya tava vashe bhavanti natu jaye parajaye vas svatantraha. In the perpetual battles between the demigods or devotees of the Lord and the demons or non-devotees, each side sometimes conquers and is sometimes apparently defeated. One may argue that all this has nothing to do with the personality of Godhead, since it is based on nothing more than the interaction of opposing living entities. But every living entity is, however, strictly under the control of the personality of Godhead, and victory and defeat are always in the hands of the Lord. This does not contradict the fact of the living entity's free will, since the Lord awards victory and defeat according to the merit of the living entities. In a legal battle, neither the prosecution nor the defense can act independently of the legal system presided over by the authorized judge. Victory and defeat in the court are awarded by the judge, but the judge is acting according to the laws which do not favor or discriminate against either side. Similarly, the personality of Godhead is awarding us the results of our previous activities. In order to discredit God, materialists frequently give the argument that oftentimes innocent people suffer, whereas impious rogues enjoy life unimpeded. The fact is, however, that the personality of Godhead is not a fool, as are the materialistic persons who place such arguments. The Lord can see our many previous lives, therefore he may allow one to enjoy or suffer in this life not only as a result of one's present activities, but also as a result of one's previous activities. For example, by working very hard, a man may accumulate a fortune. If such a newly rich man then gives up his work and takes to a degenerate life, his fortune does not immediately disappear. On the other hand, one who is destined to become rich may now be working very hard with discipline and austerity, and yet be without spending money. So, a superficial observer might well be confused upon seeing the moral, hard-working man without funds and the degenerate, lazy man in possession of riches. Similarly, a materialistic fool without knowledge of past, present and future is unable to understand the perfect justice of the personality of Godhead. The example given in this verse to explain Krishna's controlling power is appropriate. Although a bull is extremely powerful, he is easily controlled by a slight tug on a rope strung through his pierced nose. Similarly, even the most powerful politicians, scholars, demigods, etc., may immediately be put into an unbearable situation by the omnipotent personality of Godhead. Therefore, the demigods have not come to Dwarka to proudly display their universal political and intellectual powers, but to humbly surrender at the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead. Om Agyanti Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupaha Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namaha Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine
नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नाम्ने गौरत्विषे नमः। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
हरे कृष्ण। आई एम ग्रेटफुल फॉर दिस अपॉर्चुनिटी ऑफ rendering some verbal service by glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, his devotees and the process of devotional service. This is a very nice section in Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 6th chapter. The Yadu dynasty retires to Prabhas and eventually Lord Krishna also will depart for the spiritual world. Lord Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita that this is Dukkhalayam and Ashashvatam. This material world is a miserable place and it's also a temporary place. And he himself, when he comes to this world, also does not continue staying here forever. He goes back. Nor do the incarnations who come on his order stay here forever. Because he wants to tell that this is not the permanent place. Just you have come here for some purpose, as Krishna also comes for some purpose. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. For all those reasons. And then he returns back after the purpose is over. Similarly, the living entities also are sent to this material world because they originally disobeyed the Lord, came to this world for reformation. So they should reform themselves, get completely purified and go back home, back to Godhead, not to continue staying here forever. The plans to continue here forever are all futile plans. So he himself shows through that, through this kind of pastime. And also you can see in this 10th canto, Krishna makes his appearance in the second or third chapter also. And almost in the 11th canto, we are seeing that he is proceeding back to the spiritual world. So he is there for a short time. As such, he is there in each and every canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. But then he shows that he comes and he leaves also. And through this, he shows his opulence of renunciation. Though he creates such a wonderful, beautiful world, like this material world, which is complete in itself, as Sri Shopanishad says, Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnasya Ujjate, that it is complete. Everything that is required is here. And he himself, who is the creator, he can come here and enjoy everything. But he comes for a short while and leaves back to the spiritual world. So he shows the renunciation. This is very important to understand that many times many people are mad for the other five, Yashasha, Shriya, the beauty, physical beauty, the fame, then strength, and knowledge, and the other five kind of opulences. But the sixth one, renunciation, many people renounce the opulence of renunciation. There are some few who are interested in that, but they can get the best help, best guidance from Lord Krishna himself. He shows through his activities how one should be completely renounced in this world. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo vetti tattvatah. Krishna's birth and his activities are all divyam. They are all transcendental. They are not mundane. So he shows through his actions that how we should be not attached to this world. His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj says, being in this world, but not of this world. Not being attached to this world. Be here, but the consciousness, let the consciousness be in the spiritual world. That takes practice certainly. So this is the Vaishnava Sangha, the devotee Sangha, helps us to practice that and eventually reach the perfection and then eventually transport oneself back to the spiritual world. So this is a very nice section, especially this 14th and 15th, these two verses talk about Krishna being the supreme controller. And seventh onwards, the demigods, they have come and they are offering their prayers to Lord Sri Krishna. These prayers go till 19th shloka, 19th verse. Demigods are praying, then eventually Brahma is praying. And they are basically indicating to the Lord to proceed to the spiritual world. Lord is independent, nobody can order him. He comes by his own sweet will. There is no controller. But he also follows some kind of protocol. Like in this world also we find, even the big owner of the company, he will come, and before coming to his company firm or whatever establishment, he will inform the local manager, whosoever the top MD, managing director or somebody. And then eventually he will come. Not that he just lands up just like that. Because there are so many other things also. The MD will be confused then. Suddenly the boss came and we are not prepared. You know, if only we are told in advance. So likewise, the demigods and all others who are supposed controls, supposedly they are the controllers of this world, they also want to receive the Lord very nicely and do follow everything very nicely. So Lord also informs them. And then the Lord leaves also. We find in the Chaitanya Lila how our Advaita Acharya, he was instrumental in calling Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to this planet Earth. He found the situation of Navadvip to be very precarious. People were so materialistic. They were speaking on all the Vedas, Puranas, Upanishads, but not on Krishna. So how expert they were. They were really the scholars. Speaking on Vedas, Puranas, and it is said that all the Vedas, Puranas and Upanishads and everything, one has to come to the conclusion of Krishna being the supreme. He is end all and be all. Vasudeva Sarvamiti. Krishna is end all and be all. But they were so expert scholars that they were speaking on all these Vedic literatures without speaking about Krishna. So Advaita Acharya in his humility felt himself to be unqualified to deliver the people of Navadvip and the rest of the world. So he invited, he invoked prayers, he came across Gautamiya Tantra, that Lord can be offered some Gangajal, water of the Ganges, and some Tulsi Dal, the leaves of the Tulsi plant. And Lord becomes pleased, he gets sold out to his such devoted servant. And then he agrees to come. So he did all that and Lord came to this world. He performed so many pastimes. Advaita Acharya himself participated in that. And eventually as the holy name was spread all over Navadvip, all over Jagannath Puri and rest of India, then he felt now it's done. The purpose for which I had called the Lord is fulfilled now. Now he may proceed back to the spiritual world as he always does. He never stays here forever. So then he only sent one chit. It was like code language. He said, in the market, now there is a lot of rice. So there is no more requirement of rice. And people are wondering, what is this rice? Our rice came in Vaishnava Sangha. We are having enough rice anyway, in our prasadam. But what is this? Only Nityan Prabhu understood, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood. And then he said, okay, fine. You are telling me now to leave, I will proceed. Advaita Acharya is none other than Mahavishnu and also Sadashiv. So here also we have Brahma, we have Shiva. They all are requesting demigods, they are requesting Lord. Now you, if you wish, you can proceed. From our side, we invited you. We know earlier when Kamsa had produced so much of disturbance, cosmic disturbance, universal disturbance. So they went to Brahmaji. Brahma took them to Kshirasagar. They requested the Lord. Lord said, I am coming soon in the Yadu dynasty. You all also can appear there. And now this thing, everything, Lord came on their request. And now they are requesting, your service for which we invited you is over. So as you wish now. And it's understood. You will wish to proceed back to your place now. So they are requesting here. So this is a very nice shloka here. They are saying here, you are the supreme personality of Godhead, the transcendental entity, who is superior to both material nature and the enjoyer of nature. May your lotus feet bestow transcendental pleasure upon us. All of the great demigods, beginning with Brahma, are embodied living entities, struggling painfully with one another under the strict control of your time factor. They are just like bulls dragged by ropes, tied through their pierced noses. So the theme for this particular verse is Krishna being the supreme controller. All these verses we see here, each one of them, almost from 7th onwards to 19th, they are focused on lotus feet of Krishna. That means service to Krishna is the goal of one who is offering these prayers. Krishna, you are the master and we are your servants. So whenever this Pada Sevanam comes, that means, that refers to physical services. Krishna is the master and I am your servant. Lakshmiji is the best example. She is always at the lotus feet of the Lord and always massaging the Lord, massaging the lotus feet of the Lord. That means I am your maid servant. Or in general for us, we are all his servants. You are master. And he is the controller. generally living entity, when he comes to this material world, he comes and he gets illusioned by the material energy of the Lord, under which he thinks he is the creator, he is the enjoyer, he is the controller. Even if some place, somehow if he feels, okay, this is established by some particular owner of the company, I am not the creator, but then I am the controller. I am controlling this here, I am controlling that department there, and thus I am enjoyer also. Sometimes he may agree, okay, I am not the creator, I am not the controller, but at least I am the enjoyer. So all these three have to be completely out of the living entity's thinking, his consciousness. I am not the creator, I am not the controller, I am not the enjoyer. If he doesn't do this, he perpetuates his cycle of birth and death, his repetition of the cycle of birth and death. So this has to go out. And the practice of devotional service is meant only to get rid of this misunderstanding that I am some kind of or all kind of creator, or I am controller, or I am some kind of enjoyer. Now, like, it seems like I am controlling this session here. No. If this mic is removed, sound system is removed, I become helpless. Then I will have to shout to reach out to those who have taken shelter of Garudji. Within 10-15 minutes, I will be speechless, more or less. So we are not the controllers. We are not the enjoyers. Lord is the controller, he is the creator, and he is the enjoyer. When this understanding is there, one becomes very peaceful. Krishna says that, 5.29, Bhagavad Gita, 5th chapter, 29th, last shloka. Bhoktaram yagya tapasam, sarva loka maheshwaram, suhrudam sarva bhutanam, gyatva mam shantim ruchyati. One attains lasting peace. People are searching for peace. In fact, there is bliss much superior to peace. But they hanker for the basic peace, which is lost in life only because of this three misunderstanding. That I am the Lord and Master of everything that I survey. Bhoktaram yagya tapasam, I am the enjoyer. And suhrudam sarva bhutanam, I am the best friend. I can offer the best help to my friends, to one and all, to the entire world. I am the best person. So this is the misunderstanding of the conditioned soul. He has to get rid of this. So Krishna is telling in Bhagavad Gita, you are not that. You are not the controller. You are not the enjoyer. You are not the friend to all. I am. And if you come to my side, yes, I will use you as an instrument to also exercise some kind of controllership and all that, but for my purpose. If you will align with my purpose. Otherwise, no. You get out then. That's what happens with most of the people who try to be controllers, enjoyers and creators. They are out eventually. In Bhagavad Gita, he says to Arjuna also, Nimitta Matra Bhava Savya Sachi. My dear Arjuna, become just an instrument. Just become instrument of my purpose. And Arjuna did that. He was initially not ready to fight. He had some misunderstanding. Krishna removed it through Bhagavad Gita. And then he said, okay, Karishye Vachanam Tava. I will do whatever you say. And he fought for Krishna's pleasure. Krishna had already told him that you fight for my sake. Think of me. Mam Anusmara Yuddhacha. So Arjuna did that and he said, very good. Now I give you the credit for fighting this whole battle. You become the winner. You get the kingdom. You enjoy life. Because I know you will not enjoy aloof from Lord, aloof from Krishna. But you will have him. You will award him to each and every living entity. So Krishna did that. So, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he comments some of the things which are there very nicely put in the purport also. So, we'll discuss some of those things. He is saying, why do the devatas worship the Lord? Because they are under his control. And a nice example is given of a bull who is very mighty, very powerful. We know controlling bull is no easy task. None of us will dare to control a bull unless we have some kind of training. In fact, we know one of the queens of Krishna, princess, she, to win over her hand, her father had arranged those 7 powerful bulls. Anybody who can tame these bulls, put a rope and control them, he only will get the hand of my daughter in marriage. And so one bull is so difficult. These were 7. And they were the most powerful bulls. As soon as they would smell, some smell of the any kshatriya, they would be highly irritated. They would be very angry. So many Kshatriya kings, princes came. They were all gone. They were put to dust. Then Krishna is most powerful. Krishna came. He expanded in 7 forms and tamed all the 7. And Krishna got the hand of that princess. So Krishna is very powerful. But here the bull's example. Bull is very powerful. But one insignificant portion of such a huge body of bull is his nose. And in that nose also not fully, but inside they put a hole and they pass a rope through it. and a rope comes in the hand of whosoever is the bullock car driver or somebody, and he just pulls a bit and the bull is fully controlled. It's too unbearable, too difficult to bear, very difficult to tolerate for the bull. Any other part of the bull, you pull his leg, you pull his horn, he can just throw us away. But this is the most delicate and very difficult part. He has absolutely no control. So just like a bull, such a mighty bull, gets controlled through that insignificant rope, through the insignificant, unseen, invisible part inside the nose, he gets controlled. Similarly, demigods also, no doubt, they are very, very powerful. But they also get easily controlled by Krishna. For him, it is very easy to control them. In Bhagavatam, only beginning, we see, Vasudeva says, Muyanti yat surayaha. All the demigods, they also get bewildered by the arrangements of the Lord. There are so many stories of that in Bhagavatam we find. Because they are not aware of Krishna's supremacy, they are put in illusion. They also get carried away by Maya's attacks, goodness, passion and ignorance. And because of their illusion, they commit mistakes. But one glory of demigods is they beg forgiveness. As soon as they commit mistake and Krishna's supremacy is revealed, they understand, oh, we are at fault, he is supreme. We did a mistake, and they beg forgiveness, which doesn't happen with the demons. Demons also are put in illusion. They also commit mistakes, but no matter what, they will not surrender. That's why they are called as demons. They can also at once surrender to the Lord, just like demigods do. They also do the earlier steps. But the last step, they immediately beg forgiveness. The moment they realize, oh, he's supreme and we committed a mistake. He's not the one who is our subordinate. He's our boss. They understand that. Because of illusion, one tends to forget this. Which illusion is removed by Krishna's supremacy, his some super, very supremely powerful activities, leelas, and in the demigods, a particular demigod, he understands, he surrenders. So we have so many examples like Brahma Vimohan Leela. In one sense, it happened twice. I mean, when Krishna was a small child in Vrindavan, and Brahmaji, when he heard Krishna just killed Aghasur, such a powerful demon, Agha. Agha means sin personified, huge form in the form of a serpent. And Krishna, such insignificant boy, he killed. How it could be so? So he developed a desire to test Krishna. Then we know the whole pastime, how he tested Krishna by stealing away his boyfriends and cows and all that. But Krishna expanded in unlimited forms and revealed to Brahma that I am very powerful, I am supremely powerful, I am the creator, controller, enjoyer and everything. Then Brahmaji surrendered. Eventually when Krishna was in Dwarka, there also Brahmaji, he came to meet Krishna. At the doorstep, he was blocked and he was, who are you? He said, I am Brahma. Tell Krishna. Then the message was sent to Krishna inside, Brahmaji has come. Brahma? Which Brahma? And then the messenger came and he told that Lord is asking, which Brahma? He said, which Brahma? I am the only Brahma. But anyway, chalo, the son of, the father of four Kumaras and Brahma with four heads, informed this much. So that was informed to Krishna, and a four-headed personality with is the father of four Kumaras. Krishna said, okay, send him in. Bring him in. So meanwhile, Krishna also sent message to all the Brahmas in all the different universes. So they also came there. They came kind of before him. And when our Brahma came, the controller of our universe, he came and he bowed down to Krishna with his four heads. He was surprised. There were so many other Brahmas. Brahmas with 8 heads, 16 heads, 32 heads, 68, 124 or whatever. Unlimited hundreds and thousands and millions of heads. Now somebody may say, how is it possible? How can we have so many heads? We don't find people like that. But we find cobra in this world, generally cobra with one hood. But you go to Konkan railway side, where Parshuramji threw his Parshu, and then the whole of earth came up, this Arabian Sea went behind, and land came up. Along with that, Nagaland also, Nagaland means Naga's planet, the Nagalok, that came up. And there are so many cobras there with five heads, there are cobras with seven heads, which we don't come across so much. But they are there. You can see them. Go to internet. Maybe not. We can go personally also. And they are there. So Brahmajis are also there. What is not possible? Impossibility doesn't exist for the Supreme Lord. So he makes it happen. So our Brahma was surprised. Oh, there are so many other Brahma. And he felt himself very tiny, puny, very insignificant. Because he had the least number of heads. Though more than us, four. But there are no Brahma with two heads and one head. The minimum was four and he was the one. And all others had more than him. Because ours is the smallest universe. Our Brahma has least number of heads. More than us anyway. But less than all other Brahmas. So he felt himself very puny, tiny puny. So, and then he surrendered to Krishna. In fact, those Brahmas were very grateful to the Lord. Lord, thank you. Krishna asks, how is things in your universe? Very nice, you recently came, you took care of that demon, and everything is peaceful now. We are very happy. Thank you, Lord. Somebody said, no, Lord, you know, you please come to our universe, this and that. So Lord was very pleased. So our Brahma understood, I am at fault. So he rectified himself. Lord Shiva also, he got attracted to Mohini Murthy. Somehow when that Samudra Manthan happened, and Mohini Murthy came, Lord took beautiful form. All other demigods were there, they were very happy. And demons got deluded. She did all that what we have heard. But Shivji was absent there somehow. Generally he doesn't take part in this kind of things. But he was absent. When he came to know, he developed a desire. I wish to see this form. He went to Lord Narayan and said, please show that form. He said, but that is very deluding form. You know, so how is it possible? When the demigods were in one sense, Devadi Dev Mahadev, he is supreme demigod. And other demigods lesser than him, they did not get deluded. How could I be deluded? I wish to see. And we know, when Lord showed his form, so beautiful, more than even Goddess of Fortune also. And Shivji, under the yoga maya of the Lord, got deluded. He ran behind her and all that. Then eventually he glorified the Lord. So he also surrendered. But we find the demons don't do that. That is their fallacy. That's the fault in the demoniac mentality. That after realizing the Lord's supremacy also, one doesn't want to surrender to him. We find in Ramayana, Prabhupada quotes one shloka in TLC, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Sakrudeva prapannayos tavasmi iti yachate, abhayam sarvada tasme dadami etad vratam mama. When Vibhishan came, he left the party of Ravan and he came by skyways to this side of the ocean where Lord Ram was there in Rameshwaram. So there was a lot of discussion whether to accept him or not. He may be a spy sent by Ravan. If he joins our side, he will come to know all the secrets and it will be difficult for us to win over Ravan then. So almost everybody was, so many things were happening, nobody was accepting. And when Hanumanji was asked, what is your opinion, Hanuman? Lord Ram said, he said, I have seen him, he's a nice devotee. And from his, Hanumanji was expert in so many fields of departments of different knowledge. So then he said, he's, from his face we can make out, he's innocent. When I went to Lanka, I saw he was worshipping you. So he should be accepted. And then that time Lord Ram said, yes, what to speak of Vibhishan? If Ravan himself comes now and says, here is your Sita, please forgive me. Immediately I will not only forgive him, I will give him abhayam. I will give him fearlessness. So Lord Ram is so magnanimous. But unfortunately, Ravan was told by so many of his counselors, his demoniac counselors. So they told him that please give back. Even Kumbhakarna said, you know, what nonsense. Why did you bring his wife? You know, you could have brought so many other wives. You have already done that. You can go for many other wives also, but not his wife. He's a very powerful personality. Ravan said no. Then Kumbhakarna said, okay, after all, you are my brother. You know, so I will be for you. So he was another fool. Ravan is one fool and he's another fool. So they join hands and they go in the wrong direction. They don't surrender to Krishna. But we find the devotee will surrender, or even demigods, after their small mistake, they also surrender. So these demigods, and for that matter other people, they mutually suffer through their competition by qualities like envy. They keep competing, you know, because of the envy within. Even the powerless demigods, the demigods may be having power sometimes, sometimes they may be not able to exercise their power fully. But they are all controlled by Kala, time, as it is revealed in this particular purport. The time factor, Kalosmi, Lokashayakrut Pravruddho. Krishna says, time I am, you know, the all devouring personality. You know. In the form of time, Krishna devours everything. No matter how beautiful a creation, a building, a car, a house, a human body or any other body, as the time passes by, then slowly, slowly, it becomes affected. Apparently, through air, through sunlight, through water, these external elements. But actually it is Kala, time, which is Krishna only, which devours everything. So these demigods, they are also controlled by the Supreme Lord, whereas Lord is not. He is the supreme controller. He is controller of Prakriti also, and he is controller of Jiva, the living entity also. In Vedic literature it is said, Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate, Natas samas chabhi dikascha drushyate. There is no one equal to Krishna, samaha, abhyadhika, and nobody is superior to him. So everybody is inferior only, that means. No equal, no superior. That's why one of the names of the Lord is Asamurdhava. Asama and Aurdhva. Nobody is equal to him and nobody is superior to him. So he is Asamurdhava. But this understanding kind of gets covered over by the potency of Maya in which the demigods fall sometime or the other. But in Bhagavad Gita, as it is quoted in the purport here, it is said that there are two kinds of living entities, the fallible and infallible. The infallible, they remain in the spiritual world, but the fallible, they fall down, so they come to this world. But this, among all them, you know, they may be powerful, but beyond them is the Supreme Lord. Dvavimo purusho loke kshara akshara evacha, kshara sarvani bhutani, kutosto akshara uchyate. But uttama purushastu anyaha. There is uttama purusha, purusha uttam. This is 15th chapter, which is entitled only as Purushottam Yoga, the yoga of the Supreme Person. So there in Krishna is revealing his identity, his supremacy. That these two kind of people are there, and infallible in one sense are very powerful. But among the infallible also I am the supreme. Nitya nityanam, chetanas chetananam. That there are many nityas, but one is supreme nitya. He is supremely eternal. And there are many conscious beings, chetan, but one is supremely conscious being. That is Krishna. So his supremacy is unchallengeable. Nobody can challenge it. Certainly, the demonic tendency or demons, you know, when they get influenced by that, they think for a while that they are supreme and Krishna is nothing, no one in front of them. And they challenge, they get refuted, they get defeated, and then they accept. Somehow or the other, they have to accept. And then only they can go back to the spiritual world. So quite some places Krishna says that in Bhagavad Gita 15th chapter, 16, 17, 18, and 19th, he says, Yo mamevam asammodo janati purushottama. Sa sarvavid bhajati mam sarva bhavena bharata. So one who understands this properly, that I am Purushottama, I am the topmost of all the personalities, then he worships me with all his heart. In Bhagavad Gita, other place Krishna says, Bhudha bhava samanvitaha. Those who understand Krishna to be the end all and be all, from him only material and spiritual worlds emanate, such a person worships the Lord with all his heart, with all his devotion, everything, absolutely no reservation, everything is for Krishna. So such a bhav, here also he says, sa sarvavid bhajati mam sarva bhavena, with all his heart he will worship. If you only understand that Krishna is the supreme controller, supreme creator and supreme enjoyer. So these things have to be ingrained in our consciousness. And all the Vedic literature speak this thing very prominently, again and again and again. Because that mentality in the Maya's clutches always creeps in, that I am the controller, I am the creator, I am the enjoyer. So no. Very formally, very powerfully, through different pastime, the theme is one only, that you are not the controller, you are not the enjoyer, you are not the creator. Krishna is. And so many pastimes are there for that only. So here in the purport it is said, all living entities are under Lord's control. Their victory and defeat is in his hands. He decides. Just like on the planet here, we have this match of cricket. They have something called as the man of the match. That means, at some crucial time, if that man, whosoever is, gets that, if he would not have been there, it would have been difficult for this side party to win over that match, over the others. So that term is their man of the match. So there is some similar discussion after the Mahabharata war was over. Who is the man of the war? Now, one person, because of whom this, the whole war, you know, came to the side of the Pandavas, the victory. Then somebody said, Arjun, such a powerful warrior. You know, he's such a powerful. Every day minimum 10,000 people were killed by him. Somebody said, no. You know, he was helpless as long as Bhishma was there for first 10 days. Bhishma will drop down by the end of the 10th day. And even before sunset, then all war ended because such a respectable, elderly, most eldest personality in the entire Kuru dynasty. And so much venerable, respectable. So then war stopped anyway. And then he was no more in the fighting. So he deserves the man of the war, this thing. So they were all confusion. Nobody was coming to conclusion. They said, this Hanumanji is sitting on the top of Arjun's chariot. He had the top view. Many of us had the only two-dimensional. He had three-dimensional view. So he knows better. Let's approach him and let's ask him. So they approached him and said, you know, Hanumanji, what do you say? Who is the man of the war for this war? He said, as far as I could see, I can guess, I can understand, it is only Krishna who is the man of this war. They said, what? Krishna never fought. He was just a charioteer. He never lifted any weapon and all that. He had already said that. Once he did that for a short while, but he did not use that weapon anyway. So how can he be deserving this? So he said, yes, the warriors were on both sides, they were fighting. Somebody was releasing arrow from this side, somebody was trying to counteract from that side. So this was going on, apparently. But whether the arrows released or any weapon released would have its effect or not, that was completely decided by Krishna. Not by those warriors. They were trying their best. But that was completely in Krishna's decision. We know when that Ashwasena was there, who came, appeared as an arrow in Karna's quiver. And he was trying to take one particular arrow, but then Ashwasena only would come in his hand and he would drop it back. What is this? I don't want this one. Because Ashwasena wanted to take revenge and wanted to kill Arjun. So then eventually anyway, he got this and he took it and shot it. And Krishna knew this is very, very powerful arrow. So he told Arjun, please bend down. Arjun said, how can I bend down? We will die but we will not bend. And Krishna was requesting, please bend down. So he was not ready to bend. So then Krishna just pressed his thumb on the chariot and the chariot went down in the earth soil a bit. And then the arrow came and hit Arjun's crown. It flew off, fell down and Krishna was happy. Arjun is protected. Okay, crown no problem. Sar salamato, pagdi pachas. You know, head is there, then we can put more crowns. But Arjun is safe. So this, another time when Abhimanyu was killed, we find there Krishna covered over the sun, so that Arjun can easily kill Jayadrath. So Krishna was very actively involved, not physically in one sense, but his mind, everything was there, because how can he leave his devotee? So Krishna only deserves this man of the war, that was the Hanuman's decision. So now we may say, but then he is a partial person. He always favors his devotees and always tries to kill demons and all that because they don't follow his law. But it is not like that also. That is also revealed in this purport and in this verse. That is all based on their karma only. Their activities. They decide whether to get killed or to survive and enjoy life with Krishna. That is given to every living entity. We don't get anything extra or anything less in our life than what we have been doing according to our karma. And there are many examples given for that also. Just like we have this Prabhupada quotes, Jayastu Panduputranam, Esham Paksha Janardana. The Panduputras will be certainly victorious because Janardana Krishna is on their side. End of the Bhagavata 18.78, he says, Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, Yatra Partho Dhanudara, Tatra Sri Vijaya Bhutir Dhruvanitir Matirmama. Wherever there is Krishna, the master of the mystic, wherever there is the greatest of archers, Arjun, there is going to be victory. You know, the success, there is going to be Shri, opulences, Niti, there is going to be morality. All auspicious things are going to be there. So this is already told. It is just up to the living entity to take this side or that side. One who chooses to take Krishna's side, he will definitely have victory. He cannot be defeated. He will definitely have morality. He will definitely have opulences. But the demons choose to be on the other side. So this is the problem. Just like the law, the state laws tell, that you just follow the norms, whatever the codes are, and then you live a happy life. You can roam around here, there. No problem. But there are people who don't follow. They break the laws. They will do some kind of mischief. Then they are put in jail, prison. And then their freedom is restricted. So they only chose it. Nobody forced them to do this or that. That every living entity decides for himself. So this is his choice. Free will is given to a living entity. But somehow the demonic mentality is such that one doesn't want to take the side of the Lord. Because there one has to subordinate. One cannot be the master. Krishna is the master. But on the rasa platform, if we understand that Krishna makes his servants his masters. Whether Yashoda Mai, for her sake, or for Nanda Maharaj's sake, he is lifting the padukas, the sandals of Nanda Maharaj. For Yashoda also, he is ready to get bound by her love. Otherwise, nobody can bind Krishna in the entire creation. Nobody has power. The best of the yogis also, with their topmost meditation, cannot reach the light that which emanates from the tip of the toe from Krishna's foot. So what to speak of touching Krishna and binding him. But Krishna agrees because he is bound by the love of his devotees. So he keeps the free will of the living entity intact. He doesn't interfere with that. They have their karma and accordingly the things happen. So that's why one has to be very careful to understand the laws of karma and not blame Lord for something wrong that happens in our life. Like here very nicely is put up one particular point, is that some people say that what kind of Lord is this? That innocent people are being kind of killed. They die in some kind of mishap or something. And there are rogues, thieves, murderers. They are flourishing very nicely. So this is according to laws of karma we understand from the scriptures, that they might have had some previous piety because of which they are getting the results now. So some people say, why so much time it takes? Because every seed takes time, its own time to fructify. If you have orange seed and mango seed, orange seed you sow and keep doing everything, watering, tilling everything very nicely. Within 2 years or so, we can get nice oranges. But mango tree will not give in 2 years. It will take 5-6 years because it is mango seed. It has its characteristic. Similarly, based on what activity the living entity has done, his fruit will come eventually. In Mahabharata, after the war was over, Krishna, Arjuna and all of them came back. Then Dhritarashtra asked this question to Krishna, that how come my children, and they were all killed mercilessly by Bhima alone, and so mercilessly. Dhritarashtra was only hearing the description, but then it was so fearsome. Then Krishna told, because 50 lifetimes back, you were a hunter in the forest, and Gandhari was your wife. Both of you happened to burn a nest of a bird, in which the mother got blinded because of this fire, and 100 baby birds, they died. They burned to, they died. So that's why you got the reaction. Dhritarashtra said, oh, really? I was such a wrong person that I did such a thing. But wait a minute, what is that? You said, before 50 lifetimes. Why I had to wait for 50 lifetimes now, when I don't even remember that I did something like this? That time only I could have been given some kind of punishment, then I would have rectified myself. Krishna said, no, to get one son also, it takes a lot of piety. It is not just the union of man and woman which leads to child. No, it requires a lot of piety. And as a hunter, you were sinful, you were killing animals, so you did not deserve to have one child also. So it took 50 lifetimes for you to become pious and earn piety. And by dint of that, now you are capable of, so you got a human birth, you became the king, but then because the mother bird was blinded, you were born blind, and these 100 children of yours, they were killed. So this is how it happens. It takes time. Or they say that, what they call, granary, the storehouse, grain storehouse. Somebody might have deposited some kind of grains previous year, and this time fresh crops are there. He puts fresh grains now. And when he takes it out, he finds rotten stuff, rotten grains. And he's wondering, I had put fresh ones, how the rotten ones are coming out? Because he put the fresh ones on the top, but the opening is at the bottom. So that previous years was rotten, so that's what came out first. Eventually he keeps doing, then the fresh one will also come, because this talk is little bit of the last year. So similarly, every action takes its time to fructify into reaction. It's not, so there are, that's why instant karma, which immediately gives reaction. There are some delayed karma, which takes time. A delay will depend 1 day later, 5 days later, 10 days, 1 month, 1, 2, 3, 5 years. Some of the karma will come next life, some will come after 20 life, 30 life. Like I'm raising my hand, you know, some piety of some lifetime. When, which, gahana karmano gatihi. It's very difficult for us to understand, but Krishna does everything very nicely. It's a perfect system. Nobody gets less, nobody gets more. So with this understanding, the demigods and all people are controlled. The best of the politicians, they are controlled according to their karma. Like J.F. Kennedy, he was told, sir, don't go today. There is some threat for your life. If at all you want to go, go in the bulletproof car. He said, no, all my fans would be there. What is the use of bulletproof car? So he went, and we know that time only somebody shot him. So such a powerful personality, loved by all, the entire U.S. Army was with him, but they could not protect him. So that was because of the karma, not that purposefully he was killed. Krishna just like that keeps interfering. No, Krishna doesn't interfere in all these things. Prakruti only takes care of all these things. Maya adhyakshena prakruti. Suyate sa characharam. She knows the entire management of the cosmos. She doesn't have to ask Krishna. She is very nicely trained. So many, for kind of eternity she has been doing this service. She doesn't need this thing. Only when it comes to devotees, then they are Krishna's people. Then Maya has no role. Then Krishna decides. what to do. Then he says, I will decide. So like that, it is, everybody is under control, and then one should understand, demigods have come with this understanding, that Krishna is the supreme controller. Earlier, true, that they got deluded by Krishna, but not now. Now they have come in their sanity, with full understanding, he is the one whom we invited, he came, he took care of all the demons, now everything is very nice, and now they are requesting, now your wish. So they have come with all humility, as it is said towards the end. So this humility is a concomitant factor of knowledge. That's why in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Vidya Vinaya Sampanni. Why the word Vinaya is there? It could have been avoided in one sense. But Vidya Dadati Vinayam. Anybody who is in true knowledge, proper knowledge, coming in parampara, heard from proper authorized people, such a person is automatically going to be humble person. That's automatic. So that's why we find this Vidya Vinaya Sampanni or Vidya Dadati Vinayam. In Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, Vrindavan Das Thakur tells, when Kesho Kashmiri came to Navadvip, he was very proud. So it's a very long pastime, but in short, when the children of Nimai Pandit, they were under him, they said, no, Guruji, you know, there is one great personality, Digvijay Pandit has come from Kashmir, and he's very powerful, they start, the way the children tell, you know, he has come, he has all elephants, horses, this and that, and he's very proud of his learning, knowledge. Then Nimai Pandit tells him, oh, really? He's proud, then just see how Krishna smashes his pride to dust. Very soon that is going to happen. And he gives example. Ravan was powerful, Karna this was powerful, many demons he tells. Kartavirya Arjun was powerful, but they were very proud of their prowess and they were all destroyed. And his personality will also be, his pride also will be destroyed. So there Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says one thing. He says, Phalavanta Vruksha Ara Gunavanta Jan Namrata Setahara Swabhava Anukshan. Whether tree, Phalavanta Vruksha, laden with lot of fruits, or Gunavanta Jan, the people with nice good qualities, Namrata Se Tahar Swabhava Anukshan. Moment after moment, every moment, the one prominent characteristic of such trees laden with fruits and people with good qualities is Namrata, humility. So with that humility, the demigods have come here, Brahma, Shiva and many others have come and are surrendering to the Supreme Lord. Srila Prabhupada is the epitome of humility. Krishna used him. He is the Senapati Bhakta. Already Nityamprabhu has told in Chaitanya Bhagavat. The commander-in-chief of Lord Chaitanya's army will come. And he will spread this knowledge to all those who have run away from India. They have gone there for sense gratification. He will go chase after them and give them. But Prabhupada never took credit. He only went to America. He only did so many things. But he said, my spiritual master, you know, I am just executing his instruction. And all the success is because you all are tuning in, you know, aligning yourself with the instruction, with the desire of my spiritual master. So all credit goes to you only. So Prabhupada gave credit to his superior spiritual master. He gave credit to his younger devotees, disciples. He himself did not take credit. He said, I just acted as postal peon, just a messenger, a carrier of the messenger, that's all. So Prabhupada was humble. So this humility is what is required. Whatever practices we do in spiritual life, in the midst of devotees, morning to night, day in and day out, that should lead to humility. And with the understanding Krishna is the creator, Krishna is the enjoyer, Krishna is the controller, not me. I just act as his humble servant, as his instrument. And that will be enough. I just need Krishna's grace. So if that understanding is there, then it's a perfection of life. Any question? No question. So we end here. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Samaveta Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi.